Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
We started giving over the faith training to the church. So the church basically just did this because we weren't doing it in the home.
I've always been a big fan of Sunday schools. I think if used properly, they can truly benefit the church, the family, even the kids. But for parents to assume that that's where spiritual formation will take place, they're wrong.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, you've heard me say this many times on Homeward, but I believe that if you're a parent, well, one of the most important roles is to pass along a legacy of faith to your children. You know, the church mentors parents, hopefully, and then those parents mentor their children, and the legacy of faith continues to the next generation. But the question is, where do we as parents find the guidance to get the job done? My suggestion is to start with the Bible and your local church, but you know, you can also benefit from having a youth worker, a children's worker, even a trusted friend come alongside you to help you on this journey with your kids. Well, joining me here in studio today is Jack Egger. Jack is the president. He's the CEO of Awana Clubs International. It's a great organization that really comes alongside kids and their parents in this particular area. Keys to shaping your family's faith is our very important topic today, and you're not going to want to miss a minute of this edition of Homeward coming up right now.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you want to see for yourself what APU's undergraduate experience is like, maybe you've got a son or a daughter who's looking at schools and considering going to APU, you can visit apu.edu/blogs and read what real students have to say. And there's no better recommendation than a satisfied customer, so check us out online. And we're talking about keys to shaping your family's faith today. Jack Egger is with us, the president of Awana. And if you've had kids who've gone through Awana, you know how cool that organization is. If you'd like to learn more about Jack's ministry, I'll give you a little heads up here. Go to homeward.com if you're not there already. And when you find his name in the program log listing, it's hotkeyed. You can just click right there, go to his website. And now, here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A very special day on Homeward today. We have Jack Egger with us. He's the president and CEO of Awana Clubs International, an incredible organization. You know, under his leadership, Awana Clubs reach out to 1 million children a week. In 115 countries, 17,000 churches and growing. Jack and his wife, Donna, have 4 children, and they have 4 grandchildren. Jack, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're talking about keys for shaping your family's faith. I can't think of anything more important. You know, it's interesting, Jack, on the Homeward website, people can sign up for something, and then they can fill out what their top issue is. And the top issue isn't sex and dating, and it isn't how do I help my kids have a lot of money. It isn't those kind of things. It's how do I help my kids' faith issues. That surprised us. You know, it's been going on that way for about 28 months now. It's never switched. It's always the number one thing every month. And you believe that most parents actually feel underprepared when it comes to the task of being the spiritual mentors for their kids.
Well, that's right, Jim. I mean, think about it. How many of us go to school to prepare to be parents? We don't. We just kind of jump into it. And we jump into it only with a collective set of experiences that we had in our youth. And sometimes those weren't very good experiences. We did not necessarily have great role models as parents. So we take some of that baggage, the same attitudes. We are children of our culture. And ultimately, we have children and we have no idea what to do with them, nor do we understand the biblical mandate that they need to be trained in the way they should go.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating that you say that because as parents, one of the things you're saying in your message is that we must be primary faith trainers for our kids. And a lot of people just kind of have no idea. Now, you wrote a novel. The novel is called Shaping Your Family's Faith, One Family Story of Growing Strong Together. I read it and it felt like anybody's family.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of issues, but basically, in this novel, you're trying to make the statement that parents really are the faith trainers of their kids.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, in the novel, I originally thought, well, I'll just do like most authors do. I'll write a book, and each chapter will have its own unique little story, and then I'll pull the principle and put it into play. I thought, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build some characters, and I'm going to have these characters easily identifiable so that everybody who reads, mothers and fathers, they'll say, wow, that's me. That's my attitude. And yep, that's where I've messed up. That's where I'm struggling. So that they can not only identify, but they can emotionally connect in and realize that God wants us to lead with our hearts, because parenting is heart work, and that's right. where it begins, right. from the heart.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I think a lot of parents, and I, as you do, talk to a lot of parents, listen to a lot of parents, and most of them would say, I would love to do this. I basically don't know how.
That's exactly right. They don't. I mean, how many of us get trained? So, you know, what parents do, and I don't blame them for doing this, they take their kids to church. And they think that somehow the church is responsible and the church will be a good surrogate parent. And so they drop them off thinking, wow, well, if I can get them into Sunday school, if I can get them into this and get them into that, then everything will be fine with their world. In reality, spiritual development, the faith of our children must be shaped in the home. But parents don't really know what that looks like because they themselves have never been equipped to do it. They don't necessarily have the tools, so they defer to the church. By the way, it's not bad to defer to the church. The problem is the church, more often than not, says, well, okay, we'll do the best we can, bring them on in here. And there's this assumption that something good's going to happen, but when these kids become teenagers and life makes up its mind and they go their way, then the parents are aghast. They say, what happened? Why did the church drop the ball? And the church said, well, we didn't drop the ball. We did the best we could.
You know, you were saying in your book that 150 years ago, Sunday schools happened in England. It's where it first started. And right about that time is when we started, in some ways, giving over the faith training to the church. So the church basically just did this because we weren't doing it in the home. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's right. You know, I've always been a big fan of Sunday schools. I think if used properly, they can truly benefit the church, the family, even the kids. But for parents to assume that that's where spiritual formation will take place, they're wrong. That's only a very tiny portion of what God would have us to do as parents in the home. And really, when you think about it, and we'll probably talk more about Moses, some of the last things he said to Israel, that here's how you parent. And I call that biblical parenting 101. He lays out a very clear foundation for what it looks like in the home, how to do it, and how to have great success with your kids.
It's interesting that you bring up Moses and you bring up the Old Testament, because you know the Orthodox Jew, even today, they have a much better roadmap or a plan than we do. You mentioned in your book, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, it's the Shema. Shema in Hebrew
that's
means
right.
to listen.
Yes.
And basically in the Shema, it's saying there's one God, love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul, impress this on your children, and then it even tells you how to do it.
Yes, he does.
In many ways, that's the message that wasn't just for the Old Testament, that's the message for today as well.
Yeah, and put it into this perspective. I mean, for many years, I looked at Deuteronomy 6, and I said, well, that's Moses speaking to all the people in Israel. And then one day, I said, wait a minute, let me narrow that down. It's Moses speaking to the parents in Israel. And he's saying, number one, as a parent, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. In other words, what is it your children need to see more than anything? By the way, they're never going to see a perfect parent. We're really not perfect. And by the way, our kids are more forgiving than we care to imagine. Right. What they do need to see is mom and dad loving God. And then the next part is that we would commit these statutes in obedience to our own lives. So they need to see mom and dad loving God, but they also need to see mom and dad obeying God. They need to see some consistency there. Because if anything, our kids have selective hearing. They hardly hear a thing we say. But boy, they see everything. They never miss a thing that we do. And sometimes our actions are so loud, they really can't hear a thing that we are saying.
Makes so much sense. And, you know, love God, obey God, and then what goes on after that?
Well, Jim, you know, when you think about it, and this is the part that as I really began to dig into that, one day I sat back and just laughed my head off. I said, isn't this good? Moses is saying, now, if some of you don't get this, let me explain to you when it's supposed to happen. When you stand, when you sit, when you lie down, and when you walk. And I laughed because I said, is there any other position?
Right.
And then I got serious and I thought, well, okay, so what does that look like? I mean, it's kind of like pray without ceasing. When I was a young believer, I thought, well, man, how do you do that? You don't have time for anything else. And then I began to realize that Moses was talking about mentoring, hovering over your children as spiritual coaches and mentors so that everything in their lives, every opportunity, you turn it into a moment to build biblical spiritual foundations. Now you've got an incredible relationship of trust that's being built. And as our kids get older and as they become teenagers, and as the world pulls them in every which way, if they've got a solid trust relationship with mom and dad, hey, guess who they're going to hang with? They're going to keep trusting mom and dad, and they're going to see them through those hard times.
Yeah. It's incredible, and you're so right, and it's so important to have a foundation. We're going to take a break in a minute, but what I want to come back to is, what if we didn't do it that way? We know that foundation, but you know our kids aren't going that way, and maybe we weren't perfect, or maybe you know we tried our best and our kids still failed. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Jack Egger with us, president and CEO of a wonderful program called Awana Clubs International. We've got a link on our website today to it, and I really absolutely suggest that you take a look and see if there's an Awana in your area. And there probably is, because we're talking about a million children in 115 countries, 17,000 churches and growing. Roger?
Powerful, powerful ministry, and one that I know has benefited many churches all over the Southland, all over the world. And we're so grateful to have Jack with us here on the program today. Before we continue with part two of this conversation, just want to jump in here a little and remind you of a couple of resources that Jim has put together that he would never mention himself, so I have to mention it for them. 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family is an outstanding book on how to get the priorities right, get the main thing in your family. And also, Faith Conversations for Families, too. If you're listening to this conversation and thinking, boy, I wish our church had Awana because then I wouldn't have to worry about raising my kids spiritually, guess what? That responsibility still belongs to us as parents. And Jim's book, Faith Conversations for Families, in particular, is one that will help you get that dialogue started. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't need any really heavy biblical training, but you do need some conversation starters, and we have them for you in this book. For ordering information, visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. Remember, when you buy Jim's books online, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. And now, here's part two of today's Homeward broadcast.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, Keys for Shaping Your Family's Faith. It's such an important topic today. Jack Egger, I can't think of anybody who could do this better than Jack, President, CEO of Awana Clubs International. Under his leadership, Awana Clubs reach out to a million children. I've said this a couple of times now, but it just amazes me. 115 countries every week, 17,000 churches. Jack and his wife, Donna, have four children. They have four grandchildren. Jack, as we're talking about this, my heart is stirred because I want a roadmap, and you've just been talking about the roadmap. Now, it's not an easy roadmap.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
No, you know, love God, faithfulness, fidelity. You now impress it upon our children. I mean, it sounds so easy, but it's not easy.
No, it's not.
And in fact, some people would probably say that it's not even supposed to happen. In your book, I was reading something where you once met a woman who was talking about her children in faith, and she said something like, I will certainly not force my children into religious beliefs. It's much better to wait until they get older, and then they can kind of decide for themselves.
Yeah, that smacks of the world, doesn't it?
Boy, it does.
I mean, the world's philosophy that hands off mom and dad, don't do anything spiritual or religious in their lives, let them figure it out later on. And
right.
And one of the things I discussed with that lady is, well, do you apply the same principle to your children in brushing their teeth? And she was rather astonished. She said, well, no, I have them brush. Why? Well, because they'll get cavities. Oh, really? Are you sure they'll get cavities? And so we got into this elaborate discussion as to why would you have them brush their teeth now, but you would not build any spiritual foundations in their lives? And she had a hard time gathering, you know, the perspective that she needed to see the value in those spiritual foundations being firmly set in place in her children's lives.
No, and there is that parallel going with certain families, but there's also the parallel that I talked about right before the break of a family who really does want their kids to grow in their faith, and their kids aren't following where they're going, and they're struggling like crazy. What do you say to them when they're trying to teach their kids to love God, to obey God? How do you do it?
Well, first of all, I would want to determine, how old are your kids? For example, we've learned that a child's moral window is pretty well set in place by the age of 10, 11, or 12. So if their children are already in their teen years, you know, they've got some challenges ahead because in some ways it's pretty late.
Now, it's interesting because I wanted to talk to you about that and you just brought it up. So let me kind of take a little rabbit trail. 10 years old is pretty young. So all of a sudden, a parent, when you just said that, they went, ow, I've got a 15-year-old, I've got a 21-year-old, I've got, you know, grandkids, whatever. And the situation is that they didn't lay those morals and values. It's going to be hard, but it's not impossible.
Well, it's not impossible, and I want to give parents who are struggling with teenagers that do not have the mind of Christ today, and I want to say, listen, parent, you still have influence. Back to the Moses principle. Parent, you've got influence. What do your kids need to see? Let's get back to the drawing board. Biblical Parenting 101, you, mom and dad, love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, mind, and strength. In other words, you might try to talk to them until you're blue in the face, but what they really need to see is you loving God. That's the foundation that you will then earn the opportunity to engage them again, even though their hearts may not be turned toward Christ.
Now, before you were involved with Awana, you were a pastor and a missionary. And so I want you to pastor us for a minute. What does it mean to love God?
What does it mean to love God?
Yeah, when you say we're to love God, that's what we do to show our kids faith. But what does that look like?
Well, first of all, I always explain to people that love is not an emotion. Emotions are a positive result of good love. Mm. When I speak of love, I talk about an intimate relationship with the Lord, that we love Him, we fear Him, we respect Him, we are in awe of Him. When we are to love God, we are, I believe, to allow our hearts to be absorbed by His presence and His way and His greatness, so that we become deeply influenced by Him, controlled by Him. It's much like the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in the lives of believers. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, quench not the Holy Spirit of God. Let the Holy Spirit produce intimacy. And that's a relationship, and that's what I always encourage parents to recognize. You have influence, you still have a relationship, but you need to see it in the way that you should see it, so that if your children are teenagers and they don't have the mind of Christ, they're not walking in His ways, you can still step into their lives and provide some of that influence and reestablish that relationship. Your kids need to see you loving God, but they need to also see that love being poured out toward them.
And you kind of put together love for God with obedience to God. In fact, there was a scripture that I saw in your book, John 14:21. If you love me, you will obey me, and then reveal myself. It doesn't say I'll reveal myself. It says, if you love me and you obey me, then. Talk about obedience. How do we teach our kids to be more obedient to Christ?
Well, I think it starts at a very, very early age. I think there are life threads in little children that we need to put in place. One of the very first life threads that we've learned from the life of Joseph is respect. We need to teach our children respect. If they learn to respect us and they respect others, then they grow up, and that is a key life thread. And there's the life thread of grace, and there's all of these critical life threads. If we can build these or weave these into our children when they're little, they honestly will stick with them as they turn 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and go on into their teen years. In fact, in this society today, they really become unusual kids. They stand out like sore thumbs because other kids don't think that way or act that way.
Yeah, they're going against the grain of the culture.
Right.
In many ways. We don't have much time left, but I want us to know a little bit about if someone was coming to an Awana program, because I know that these kids are being taught these things at even a young age. What is going to happen? What are they going to experience at Awana?
Well, one of the things we do with kids is recognize they like to have fun. And the universality of kids having fun, it's all over the world. And so we try to have good, clean fun and make it a very exciting time where there might be some competition. There are silly games. There are theme nights. There's a lot of stuff that we do to capture the attention of the kids. And kids vote with their feet. If they don't like it, they're going to leave. But if they really like it, they'll bring their friends. And we found in Awana, they bring their friends like crazy. So when they come, in having fun with them and sharing the Word of God, we really earn the opportunity to impart biblical truth. It's a fun exchange in the sense that if we reach out and give to the kids, we earn that opportunity to say some things to them about the Bible, and they listen, and they're very attentive for the most part.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you say that, because it was Jim Rayburn, the founder of Young Life, who said, earn the right to be heard. And sometimes we
earn the right to
be heard by having fun. And one of the traits of a healthy family is a family that has fun. And sometimes parents say, well, if we're going to shape our family's faith, it's got to be serious. But really, sometimes if it's an ice cream run, and sure, you have something going on spiritually, but it's something that has some fun into it. A friend of mine says that we need to help our kids have a sweet tooth for Jesus, and we don't do that by screaming and shouting and yelling at them.
Well, that's exactly right. And in fact, we encourage families to have family fun nights.
Right.
And it's really through that fun that parents earn the opportunity to sit down, even open the Word of God, which is becoming a rare commodity these days in families, and to share some scripture with their kids. They earn that opportunity by first having fun and enjoying them and just being silly with them. I mean, parents need to laugh more. They need to be silly with their kids.
You're exactly right. I just read that the average four-year-old laughs 400 times. The average adult laughs 14 times. Hey, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, there really is.
We've got to have you come back. We got a lot more to share. Thanks so much for being with us.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Jack Egger, the president and CEO of Awana Clubs International, here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme has been Keys to Shaping Your Family's Faith. Jack is an author, and you can learn more about Awana and Jack's ministry when you go to homeward.com in the radio archives. So you've got the broadcast listing of the programs. His name is Hotkey. Just go ahead and click through there, and you'll find that information. Jim, this is such a key topic for us as parents, because one of the things that we stress here on the Homeward Broadcast is the church is here to equip the parents. The parents can equip their children, and the legacy of faith continues to the next generation. And we talk a lot about legacy here on this broadcast and how important it is, especially in this very hyper-disposable culture that we live in. Take the final moments of our time together here and talk about our need as parents to pass on a spiritual legacy to our kids.
You're right. You know, it probably is the key thing that we like to talk about at Homeward.
Right.
I mean, we have to talk about all the crisis issues and marriage issues and all these kind of things. But in reality, it's kind of the core of who we are and what we do. Faith is important. I was talking with somebody yesterday who was in my office, and they were struggling with drug and alcohol use and abuse a year ago. Mm-hmm. And they got into a center, and we actually helped them get into this rehab center. And he said, you know, the rehab stuff was all great, but it was actually that his faith turned around.
Mm.
And that really has brought him to be clean and sober, if you would. And I think that's the same thing with parents. We tend to work on the peripheral things like, you know, soccer and education and all the things. I mean, Kathy and I sure did. But in reality, the core issue here is what Jack has been talking about. And that core issue is to build a legacy of faith in our kids so they have that foundation. Mm-hmm. And that's not easy. You know, that's messy. I mean, they can score a goal in soccer and you can cheer, but they're going to go three steps forward and a step back when it comes to the whole issue of their faith. Now, one of the scriptures that many people hear me talk about a lot is in Deuteronomy. It's called the Shema. It means to listen.
Yeah.
But it is the focus of the Orthodox Jewish faith, and I think we Christians can learn a lot from that as well. And Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 basically says there's one God and we're to love him with everything we have. And then how we transmit that love is actually by our lifestyle as parents, and then also impressing it on our children by being proactive and intentional about it. Mm-hmm. And then it even tells you how to do it when you're waking up in the morning, when you're going to bed. And it means that you're bringing the presence of God into your family's life.
Right.
And you have to be intentional and proactive about it. And that's why I appreciate so much today's conversation. This isn't something that just happens by osmosis. It isn't something that happens just because we send our kids to church, or even if we homeschool our kids or put them through the Christian schools or whatever it may be. It just has to happen when we're intentional about it. But you know what, parents, you've got to also understand this. It's not perfect. I said it earlier. It's kind of messy. So what it is we're training up our children in the way that they should go, and training sometimes is going great and sometimes it doesn't go great. I can remember when I was training for a marathon. I've only run one. So
right. LA Marathon.
I made it sound like I've run lots. But I remember that I had a point where I was doing great, and then I got hurt, and I had to stop. Well, that kind of happens in the faith field. So if your kids right now are kind of saying, you know what, I'm bored with this, or it's not working, or I don't like the youth group, don't be disheartened. Because, again, it's a long process. You are running a marathon as parents, and you know there's going to be some ups and downs. But keep to it. Make it your responsibility. That's how we pass on a faith, when we as parents make it intentional and make it a priority. Roger.
And Jim, that is so key for us as parents to remember and take that responsibility seriously. And that's why the resources that we have here at Homeward are designed to help you as a parent do just that. And if you're a grandparent, if you are raising your kids or your grandchildren right now, you're one of the millions of grandparents that's moving into that season. Check us out online at homeward.com if you're not there already. Sign up for our free daily online devotional. Our evotional features a Bible verse and a nugget nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff at Homeward. And if you'd like more information on starting that free subscription, all you have to do is go to homeward.com and sign up for it. Also, resources. Early in the broadcast, I mentioned the book Faith Conversations for Families. That book is available for purchase in our online resource center. And with all of Jim's books, if you do purchase the book directly from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We truly appreciate that. You can order at homeward.com or write to us at Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Again, the title, Faith Conversations for Families.
Well, be sure to join me again next time when I'll continue my discussion with Jack Egger, president and CEO of Awana Clubs International. We're going to keep on talking about keys to building your family's faith. Well, till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks so much for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.